So I'd like to start today, this time, with a short video.
Dear friends and family, I don't think I can do Christmas this year. And Mom, I know what you're gonna say. Don't be so dramatic, but I'm serious. I love parts of it, don't get me wrong. The family dinner, Ben's famous eggnog, Grandma's oatmeal cookies, Tim's Christmas sweater hugs. But that's not what's getting to me. It's the 10 days till Christmas pressure, the never-ending to-do list, the traffic jams, the credit card debt, all for what? To get that right gift to give meaning to it all? We spend so much money every year on good things for each other, but also on a lot of things just for things' sake. Like that random gift card for you, Tracy, because I never know what you want. Or Cousin Joel, that shirt I know you didn't really like, that wasn't your size, which made you go back to the mall and waste that whole day just so you could receive a gift from me. And it's not that gifts are bad, but lately I don't understand how all the buying and busyness has anything to do with celebrating Christmas.
There were shepherds, and an angel appeared and said, "Be not afraid. I bring you good news. A baby has been born. His name will be Emmanuel, which means God with us."
When did I forget what this has always been about? Maybe Christmas doesn't need to be different, but I need to be different. So here's what I'm going to do. The wife and I sat down. We decided to spend less anxiety, energy, and money, and instead give more relationally, like how God gave his son. Some of you we see all the time, so we thought about the gifts that could make that time more meaningful together. Others of you we don't see as often, so we wanted to make something with a bit of heart. We tried lots of things, and then we found out from a friend that you can roast your own coffee beans with a popcorn popper. So our family is making gifts, with some personal notes and prayers. If the love of Jesus changed the world, what if, in celebration of that, we took a portion of what we used to spend on gifts for each other and instead gave a lasting gift to those in need? I know what you're thinking. Where do you even start? Well, how about here? Did you know that every minute a child dies from a water-related disease? What if we could give someone the gift of clean drinking water? I know, alone, our small gift doesn't seem huge. But the story of Christmas is that we're not alone. And if we all gave together, all of a sudden it's not so small anymore. And that's a Christmas story that I'd like to be a part of, and one we would all remember. So dear friends and family, who's ready for that Christmas? I know we are, and we're inviting you to join us.
So we continue our season of Advent, and our video and our scripture reminds us today to do good. In the Gospel of Luke, John the Baptist is preparing the way, the message of and for Jesus. Zephaniah tells us, "The light is coming. We will come out of darkness as the Lord will bring the light." And here we go again, hearing, thinking, praying about John Wesley's words. They are so poetic and yet so challenging. Do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. Some may say, why would it matter if I were to do good when so many others are doing nothing? Or they're choosing to do ignorant, horrible, violent, abusive, oppressive things. It is true, many things are not going well in our world and in our country. I remember way back to 1999 when we learned of the mass shooting in Columbine. We couldn't believe our ears or our eyes. We watched the news, waiting for a rational answer to why. The news covered the story for weeks. Movies were made. We couldn't wrap our heads around this tragedy. All we could think was, if it could happen in Colorado, it could happen here in the high school here. But no, this won't happen near us. Of course not. It was just one disturbed teenager. It won't happen here. The children are safe, and I'm sure it will never happen again. But it did, and it has, over and over again, more and more often. We learn of more mass shootings. I'm mortified every week to get up and talk about this. So some are saying, some are calculating the number of mass shootings in 2015 to 353. This number is derived by this calculations. If one or more people at one time are shot or wounded, it's a mass shooting. Syracuse, New York was listed on this because on July 4th, we had 4 in one day who were wounded by a gun. Now, we can go to the other end of the scale in which Mother Jones says, that's another reporting agency, that only 4 mass shootings have happened. And they calculate this by 4 people killed in a public place. So if it's happened in a home, doesn't count. And if people are wounded, doesn't count. So according to Mother Jones' calculations, the Colorado Springs shooting is not listed. So even they are saying there's been 4 mass shootings in 2015. So with all these bad things and bad people that exist, why should I do good? If it's just about me, what good will I do? Well, today our scripture says, be a good person. Do good. Others say, I'm only one person. How can one person make a difference? I don't have the resources. I don't have the income. I don't have the time. I don't have the health. I'm not young anymore. And yet, Howard Zinn says, small acts, when multiplied by millions of people, can transform the world. Have any of you ever seen the movie Pay It Forward? Yes, 1. Okay, 3. Anyone in the choir ever seen Pay It Forward? Okay, there's a few up there. Good. Oh, more back here. Good. Okay, so if you haven't seen this movie, you need to see it. Pay It Forward is a movie about a young man, I think he's 14, and he decides that he is going to live his life doing random acts of kindness. And in random acts of kindness, he touches many lives. And coming to the end of the movie, he is helping someone and is stabbed and killed. And people who have never met one another grieve together and are saddened because this young man has done something good, has changed their life, and together they grieve and they're sad and lives are changed. Or one person can form an organization full of people who are passionate to do good. So you may be one person, but you may be able to form something. One organization that comes to mind is Interfaith Works. It started small, and it has grown and grown and grown and does so much good. In the Gospel of Luke today, John the Baptist is quite clear. Do all the good you can. Just be a good person. Because it's not enough to be baptized or say we are Christians without also making sure we do all the good we can. The author of Luke Acts, Volume 1 and Volume 2, makes sure to point to those of Jewish heritage, Abraham's line, those who had more than enough, like those with the 2 shirts or the extra food, the tax collectors, the soldiers. But this could apply to anyone. Don't just say it. Don't just say you're Christian. Live it. John says when someone messes up, they must repent, own up to it, reflect, and decide to do better next time. Wesley believed one must repent over and over in one's life. Everyone gets off course once in a while and needs to recognize their error, have a conversation with God, and then get right back on course, back on your path, doing good. Luke's audience, or his hearers, were trying to navigate their place in the overall social setting. How would they live together as Christians, possibly coming from different backgrounds such as Jewish heritage and Gentiles? How would they live as Romans and non-Romans under Roman rule with several religious traditions around them? We still wonder this today. How do we live authentically as Christians in the world today? Well, John the Baptist has a simple answer. Do good. Be a good person. The hymn, "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love," comes to mind. We are not in this alone as much as we may think. I'm only one person. What difference can I make? We are not alone because we are here in this space, both physically and spiritually, together. And outside of our doors are others who want to do good. Together, our small acts will multiply into many acts of kindness as we do good in our world. They'll know we are Christians by our love. And Paul reminds us in his letter to the Philippians, "Let your gentleness be known to everyone." In other words, do good. But when in doubt, or you're unsure how to do this, pray. Let your requests be known to God. Communities of faith have been instructed for thousands of years to do good, but it's challenging. Luckily, we have a loving, forgiving God who understands we are only human. So let's do all the good we can. I saw this quote on Facebook the other day, and I had to share it with you. The Bible is meant to be bread for daily use, not cake for special occasions. It doesn't matter what others are doing or what we feel, that we feel like one person when it comes to all that needs to be done. As we wait this Advent season, we are called to do all the good we can by all the means that we can, in all the ways that we can, in all the places that we can, at all the times that we can, to all the people we can, as long as we can. Amen.